This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. October is upon us with new movies, and joining me to speak about these new movies and entertainment news is Managing Editor at Movies.com, Eric Davis. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so the last time we spoke, we talked about Mother for a little bit, and the guy who directed it, and I can't say his last name, it's Darren Aronofsky. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got it.
That's right. Nice. I actually really like this guy. He's done so many really good movies, like directed them. There's Requiem of a Dream, The Wrestler, Black Swan, Pi, a bunch of other things too. But Mother seems to miss the mark. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it misses the mark. Maybe it misses the mark box office wise, but I actually found this film to be extremely thought-provoking, and it's sort of my favorite kind of movies. In terms of that, it inspires so many different conversations and debates after it. And so he kind of layers this film in a bunch of different ways. And I don't think it's very accessible. So, like, if you're just going out and you just want to watch, like, a movie that's going to have your plot A, plot B, plot C, this is not that movie. But I think if you're looking for something that's really different and inventive and unique and is going to inspire a lot of different conversations in terms of the way that people sort of perceive the movie afterwards, I think it's great in that respect. So I don't think a lot of audiences dug it too much because it's not accessible. You know, it's a hard movie. I interviewed Darren Aronofsky, and he said, look, we knew what we were doing. We wanted to throw a punch at the audience and see how they reacted to it. And so I think it's good. I think it's healthy that these kinds of movies exist. I think it's great that big studios are putting money behind these kinds of movies because it makes us think, okay, you know what? It's not just superhero movies and sequels. Sometimes we're going to get these really heavy, thought-provoking movies. They're going to create a conversation. And this movie definitely created a conversation, and that's why I respect it.
It's so funny. There's a lot of movies that are like that. The last one I remember was It Comes at Night. I believe that's what it was called. I kind of don't like it. I don't like when directors do this because to me, it feels like they messed up on the script and halfway through the movie, they decided to change it. And, you know, maybe some of the actors didn't get some of the scripts. So it looks kind of like pieced together. I'm not sure if that's the kind of conversation they want people to have because, I mean, at some point, I believe Jennifer Lawrence even went out and she had to explain the movie a little bit to people.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's not like, you know, sometimes you're going to get films that are like that, that people don't get and don't understand. And it's interesting to have that conversation. Like, so is it a failure? Is it a failure if, 50% of the audience doesn't understand it, doesn't like it, or even 60, 65%? Is that a failure of a movie? I personally think that the craftsmanship and the thought behind Mother that Darren Aronofsky put into it, I think is on a different level. And I think there's so many different interpretations that come out of that story that's being told. Is that a failure or is that a success? You know, I am a fan of movies that leave you wanting to talk and debate for hours afterwards. I think that is a great movie. That is a sign of a really great movie. And so, you know, I think in that regard, Mother is a great movie. You know, It Comes at Night, I agree with you. I think It Comes at Night, sort of similar to Mother in terms of it was sold as a movie that you thought, okay, this is going to be like a monster movie, but really it's not. And so I can see how, you know, you're selling Mother as a psychological thriller, maybe from the guy that did Black Swan. And so you go in thinking, okay, it's going to be, you know, a generic kind of movie experience, and it's anything but. You know, I think that's turned on a lot of audiences. I've talked to a lot of people who absolutely love this film and think it's brilliant. On the flip side, I've talked to a lot of people who think it's crap and wanted to leave 10 minutes after it started. And so, you know, I don't know. I think these are the kinds of movies that, everybody's going to have their opinion. And And I think it's great. I think it's inspired a lot of debate, and that's cool.
I don't mind when movies are like that, but I'm glad you kind of brought that up. It's the trailer. You're right. I thought Mother was going to be about some kind of like ghost or supernatural event. And, you know, maybe with occults and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff happening. And it was anything but. But do you think that the trailers should be more conscientious to try to make the movie more or make the trailers more of what the movie would be about rather than sensationalizing?
Well, it's interesting because they kind of, after the first week of release from Mother, they cut new trailers that leaned into, like, it's the most controversial movie of the year, you know? It's hard, you know? It's hard with a movie like that because you have to cut a trailer that's going to entice people to see the film. And so, you know, you have to kind of, you want to be honest to the kind of film it is, but you also want to try to get people there. So I don't sympathize with the studio, Paramount, that had to market Mother because, you know, they have the movie that they have, and they have to do what they have to do to try to sell this to as wide an audience as they can. I mean, they put this movie on like 2,500 screens, and so, you know, they got to do what they can. And I feel like the trailer, you know, doesn't necessarily sell a completely different movie. I think that, you know, they cut together a bunch of footage and it looked weird going in. They have what they have to work with. And so I do think trailers should remain honest to sort of the tone and the themes of the film. And it's hard for me to say that they failed with Mother because, I went in thinking that this is going to be a very different kind of movie going experience. And that's what I was delivered.
I don't know. I may see Mother. I don't know. But the movie that I did see was It. And it was absolutely fabulous. Not as scary as I thought it was going to be, but it was still so good. My God, I just love the techniques they did with the camera when it came to It. It wasn't just the, because they also did the camera angle. Because you know when It's coming, when the camera went to the side, right? And there was other things too about It that I really liked was when, anytime he was on screen, I don't know what this technique is called, but they focused on the clown's face and then everything else was moving but the face. And that made it kind of like weird. The whole like situation felt like, oh, God, this is so surreal type of thing. And I thought that was done really well.
Yeah, I thought it was really, it just felt like one of those movies that I grew up with. You know, it was right in my wheelhouse in terms of how old I was at that point. And I just think it was a great movie for people that really maybe aren't big horror movie fans, which I liked about it. Like you said, it wasn't too scary. It was funny and it was romantic and it just delivered a lot of different things for any kind of audience. And I think that's why it was so successful.
Not only that, it's also because when, you know, you think of It, you think of the TV, the miniseries. And I think when they were kids, it was almost like 4 hours or 4 episodes of when they were kids. And then the last 4 or something, I can't remember how many episodes it was for the It TV miniseries. And but I was really shocked at that they were able to get everything encompassed into this one movie. And it felt really good. Like they didn't miss much, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And they just announced the release date for the second one, actually.
Really?
On September 6th, 2019.
Oh, wow.
That late yesterday. So that's when chapter 2 will come out. That's when we'll get the version of them as adults.
Oh, do you think that it's going to be like one movie or do you think they'll split it into 2? Because I've noticed that lately when they do like trilogies, they want to, or movies that shouldn't be a trilogy, they end up making it into a trilogy.
I think with so much, with how much money they made on this thing, I kind of think that they're looking to probably make like 7 more It movies, to be honest with you. But, you know, I think it's really fun and I think it's great for movies and great for horror films.
When I went to see It, there was a couple of trailers that kind of piqued my interest. And one was Geostorm. I never didn't see any trailers outside of this one at the movie theater. Could you tell me about Geostorm?
Yeah, Geostorm kind of reminds me of the remember that movie 2012 where it was about like the world. Like this is like one of those things where it's like a big climate movie. Like, you know, the weather is the bad guy. And basically, like, it's a network of satellites kind of go down and they start to attack Earth. And so there's this, like, worldwide geostorm that wipes out everything and everyone. And so it's kind of like this catastrophic climate movie, you know, where the weather kind of attacks us, which probably going to be relatable to a lot of people right now in an unfortunate way. There's a lot of hurricanes that are coming around and a lot of, you know, different kinds of tornadoes and tropical storms. And so this might hit a little close to too close to home for some people. But that's the kind of film that it is.
I went and looked up other movies that are coming out in October, and there's a Leatherface, but it's a to be announced. Do you know when that's going to come out?
I believe that's coming out in October, Leatherface. That's like a prequel to October 20th. It's a prequel to kind of show you the teenage Leatherface who escapes from a mental hospital with other inmates and kidnaps a young nurse who takes her on a road trip from hell. Is sort of how they're selling it. And, you know, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, one of those iconic villains. And so this is sort of the origins of Leatherface.
So there's going to be a lot of horror ones. One that I'm not sure I would consider to be horror, it's Happy Death Day. And I actually thought that's pretty funny. It reminds me of a very morbid Groundhog Day. But what else is about it, though? Because, you know, it's not just about waking up, right?
Yeah, well, it's basically that a morbid Groundhog Day is exactly what it is. It's about a girl who gets murdered and then begins waking up, reliving the same day of her murder. And so she keeps reliving the day until she can solve basically her own murder and make it to the next day. And so it's very visually inventive in that way. So if you like kind of films like that. There was a film earlier this year called Before I Fall, which was similar, which was about a girl who was in a car accident and died and then kept reliving that same day and trying to figure out why. This is a little bit more specific in terms of the girl gets murdered at the end of each day, and then she has to keep getting murdered until she figures out who's murdering her.
Oh, Before I Fall? That's the name of this? Okay, let me write that down, because
yeah,
that sounds cool.
The other film, yeah.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah,
so I'm a huge Groundhog's Day fan. I love that movie. So anything where it's like they have to reset the time, like Butterfly Effect, that stuff is so cool.
Yeah, if it's done right, you know, and if it's smart script, then it's good. And this is the PG-13, so it's going to be a little bit of a lesser of a horror movie. So, you know, if you're not a big horror fan, I think this is going to be, but you want to kind of get a little bit of a scare, this is going to be the film to go see, I think. A good date night horror movie.
Yeah, you're right. That is. Because it's not too gory. It's just the right amount of suspense. And, you know, hopefully there'll be a happy ending, right?
Yes, exactly.
Is there any other movies coming out in October that people should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, for sure. Blade Runner 2049 is kind of the movie that I'm anticipating the most. The social media embargo for that film is up, and so I can say that I have seen it and that I think it's a science fiction masterpiece. It's just visually outstanding, totally in line with the original. I think it may be even better than the original, and so that is a film that I think is going to sort of really own the month of October. I think it's just a cool film. The director who did it is a guy by the name of Denis Villeneuve, who did Sicario, and he did last year's Arrival, which was nominated for Best Picture. And I think he's just one of the best directors working today. And so I think, you know, it's got Harrison Ford who's returning and Ryan Gosling and Jared Leto. And I just think it's going to be a film that if you're a sci-fi fan, and especially if you're a fan of the original Blade Runner, I think it's going to be right up your alley.
I'm not going to lie. My father has berated me for this, but I have never seen Blade Runner. So should I go see the original first, or should I just jump into this one?
I mean, you know what? The good thing about this film is you don't really need to see the original. I think if you're familiar with a couple of things from the original, then you'll be fine. I mean, you know, I never say do this, but like if you wanted to read like, you know, the plot description to the original Blade Runner, if you don't want to watch the movie, you can go in. I think you'll be fine. It sets it up sort of in the beginning of the film, you know, what a Blade Runner is, replicant and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think just on its own, I think it stands on its own. It's just a really great science fiction movie.
Before I let you go, there's one more movie I was curious about. It was Jigsaw. What's that one about?
Well, it's kind of the next one in the Saw franchise, believe it or not. The Saw movies are back, and this one, they're kind of keeping it close to the vest. They're not letting you know what it's about, really. There's a trailer out right now that it looks like there's a copycat person to Jigsaw, and, you know, if you're familiar with the Saw movies, there's crazy death traps and puzzles that people who are taken hostage have to figure out, and these are people who have sinned, and so the person that's behind these awful, evil traps are trying to punish them for their sins. And so is it Jigsaw? Is it a copycat? That's kind of what the premise for the film is.
Well, thanks, Eric, so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Davis, Eric with a K, and always on Fandango. I'm doing a lot of stuff at Fandango now, and Rotten Tomatoes a little bit too. So, but find me on Twitter and be part of the conversation there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.